Our text of Scripture for this gospel meeting tonight, you'll find, and it's really the opening words of verse number 2 of Exodus chapter number 5. And in that verse it says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Now the book of Exodus, it tells us of Israel's deliverance from the bondage and the captivity of Egypt. Prior to this, back in the book of Genesis, we read and have read of Jacob and his family going to live in the land of Egypt at a time of great famine. And the family of Jacob survive. They become the nation of Israel, and they multiply greatly as a people. But the Bible tells us after the death of Jacob and after the death of his son Joseph, that there now arises a new Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, a new king in the land of Egypt, who knew not Joseph and who had no concern for the children of Israel and the heritage of Jacob. And the Bible tells us how he inflicts terrible affliction upon the people of Israel. The Bible tells us how Israel, they cry to the Lord for deliverance. They pray to God. And God answers their prayer. And he raises up Moses, a deliverer, to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt to the promised land. And it is indeed in response to this great task that Moses and his brother Aaron come before Pharaoh in Exodus chapter number 5. And as they come before Pharaoh, they bring a message from God. And the message from God to Pharaoh was simply this, that Pharaoh was to let Israel go and worship the Lord in the wilderness. And verse 2 really gives Pharaoh's reply to this message that had been delivered to him by God's servants from the Lord. And verse 2 says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And there we see that in his defiance, not only does he refuse to let Israel go free, but the chapter also tells us how increases the work burden and the burden of labor upon the Israelites, bringing them into terrible bondage and servitude and slavery, causing upon them as a people extreme and awful hardship and suffering. Now tonight, dear friends, in our gospel meeting, it is this reply of Pharaoh to God's message that I want us to consider and think about. When it says, "Then Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And the reason why I want us to look at these words is because these words in our text are really a picture, a gospel picture. Yes, they are a picture of the response of many to the gospel message of God's precious word. You see, in the gospel, God is one who calls people individually to repent of their sin. He calls people individually to put their faith and their trust on the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Yet sadly, there are multitudes all around the world and society tonight who refuse this message, who turn their back upon this call, and they continue before God as unrepentant sinners without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And friends, tonight in the time that is left, as we would consider then these words of Pharaoh in this light, there are three things that I want to set before you in connection with our text. Notice, first of all, here with me, the mercy that Pharaoh received. What was that mercy? Well, look at our text. It says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And there we see that the mercy that this man Pharaoh received was that he heard the Lord's speaking voice. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" He heard the voice of God to his heart and to his soul. People, can I say it is a tremendous mercy? Indeed, it is a great mercy for any one of us to hear God's speaking voice to our heart and to our soul. You see, the Bible says the voice of the Lord is powerful. It says the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Indeed, the hymn writer Horatius Bonner could say, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And oh, that every one of us could say the same tonight in this gospel meeting. What a mercy to hear the voice of God to your heart, to your soul. People, can I say, yes, the Lord, he speaks to us. How? He speaks to us through the ministry of his faithful servants and his faithful people who witness to us. This was so here with Pharaoh, because God spoke to them, and he spoke to them through his servants, Moses and Aaron. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. It says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. God spoke to Pharaoh through his servants, Moses and Aaron. And God speaks to you and I also, dear friend, through the ministry of his faithful servants and through the faithful witness of his people that we rub shoulders with day by day. Also, we can say further tonight that the Lord, he speaks to us through providence and through circumstances and through events that occur in our life. You think tonight of the prodigal son, that young man who went away from home. He went into the far country to spend his inheritance, and he spent it, the Bible says, on riotous living. And he lived in sin, yet something happened. There was a famine. And the Bible says he began to be in want, and it says he came to himself. And God spoke to him through that famine, through his want, through his need. And the result was an acknowledgement of his sin before the Lord. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And friends, God, he speaks to you and I through events, through circumstances, through providential happenings in our lives. Then we can say further tonight as well that the Lord, he also speaks to us by his Holy Spirit, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, knocking at our heart's door, convicting us of our sin and of our need of a right relationship with God. In the book of Revelation, the Lord speaks and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Tell me, friend, has the Lord been knocking at your heart's door of late through his Spirit, speaking to your heart and soul, convicting you of your sin, of your need of a right relationship with God, your Maker and your Creator? And then we can say further tonight that God, yes, is one who speaks through his Word. Whenever his Word is read, whenever his Word is preached, and whenever his Word is thought upon and meditated upon. It was Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, who said, the Bible is a letter that God has sent to us. Think of that, friend. God in his Word has sent his Word to your heart, to your soul, to speak to you. It is a letter from heaven to the hearts and souls of every single one of us in this meeting tonight. Turn your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, and look with me please at verse number 12, and there you see the power of the Word of God, the effect of the Word of God in hearts and lives, and this is all with the blessing of God and the accomplishment of God's blessing upon his Word. It says in verse 12 of Hebrews 4, for the Word of God is quick. In other words, it's a living Word, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there we read of God's Word being like a double-edged sword, piercing right to the deepest recesses, the deepest depths of our heart and of our soul,
You might ask the question tonight, why do I have a Bible? Why has God given me a copy of the Scriptures? Friend, you have a Bible in your hand tonight. You have a copy of the Scriptures in your mother tongue for God to speak to your heart, for God to speak to your soul. For His Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, what a mercy to hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts, speaking to our souls. You'll see here in the chapter before us tonight, in Exodus chapter 5, that in the case of Pharaoh, God was calling Pharaoh to let Israel go and to worship the Lord through the grounds of a sacrifice. Look at the latter part there again of verse 1, and then look at what is said in verse 3 of the chapter. God's message to Pharaoh through his servants was this in verse 1, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Then verse 3, it says of Moses and Aaron, and he said, "The God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto God." My Pharaoh has been challenged. He has been called of God to let Israel go that they might worship the Lord on the grounds of the sacrifice, on the grounds of the shed blood of the Lamb. Dear friend, can I say to you tonight that in the gospel, yes, God is one who called you. He called you individually and He called you personally. He called you to repent of your sin. He called you to put your faith and trust in Christ and in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel." He calls you to repent. He calls you to believe the gospel, to put your trust in the finished work, the blood shed on Calvary's cross alone for your salvation. He says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? He calls you to turn away from your sin. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, He calls you to Christ, to put your faith, your trust in Christ alone for salvation, for eternal life, for to be ready for the coming of the Lord, and to be absolutely sure and ready for heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, it says, "For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance." And one of the implications of that tremendous statement is this: the Lord is still calling sinners. Still calling sinners to repent of their sin. Still calling sinners to put their faith and trust in Christ alone as Savior. Oh, dear friend, tonight in our meeting, let me say this, that if you are to know the forgiveness of all of your sins before Almighty God, if you are to know peace with God and be reconciled with God, if you're to know power and grace to live that Christian life day by day, if you are to have a place in God's heaven in the many mansions that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John, then friend, you need to heed this call as a repentant sinner. Put your faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That's what the voice of God calls you to do tonight in the gospel, to repent of your sin. Put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Has God been speaking to your heart in recent times about this? This is a mercy. This is the mercy of the God of heaven. Oh, listen to His voice tonight. Heed His call. Listen to God as He speaks to your heart and calls you to Himself for salvation. Yes, the mercy that Pharaoh received, not only the mercy that Pharaoh received, notice secondly tonight from our text, notice the folly that Pharaoh displayed, the folly that he displayed. You look again at our text and what he says in verse 2, and then at the end of verse 2, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? Neither will I let Israel go." There you see that in his folly, Pharaoh refused God's call. He refused to obey God's voice. And he refused to let Israel go. Dear friends, tonight, can I say this? It is the greatest of follies for you and I also to disregard the Lord's voice. There may be other voices in this life that you and I can say no to and disregard. And maybe the effect, the consequences of that disregard may be little. But it is the greatest of follies for you and I to disregard the voice of the Lord. You see, the Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Therefore, the wisest thing that you and I can do in this life, in this world, in this scene of time, is to listen to God's voice, is to listen to what God has to say to us from his word. You see, to turn away from God's voice is to show contempt for the Lord. It is to show contempt for the Lord. This was the case with Pharaoh. Why do we say that? Well, the Lord was Pharaoh's creator, and the Lord was Pharaoh's benefactor in life. And likewise, friend, the Lord also is your creator. The Bible says of the Lord that in him we live and move and have our being. And the Lord also is your benefactor in life. The Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. The hymn writer says, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Friend, God is your creator. And the reason why you're alive tonight is because of God. God keeping you alive. Every good gift you have in life, it comes from God. God has heaped blessing and blessing and blessing upon your life day by day. And to turn away from God's voice is to show contempt for the Lord, your creator and benefactor. But we can also say further tonight that to turn away from the Lord's voice is to rebel against God's will. And you see, this was the case with Pharaoh because it was God's will. It was the will of God that Israel would go free, that Israel would leave Egypt and go and worship the Lord. Dear friend, if you refuse the gospel message, you too are rebelling against God's will. You see, God's will is that you would repent of your sins. You see, the Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. My God's will for salvation is that you would put your faith, that you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Turning your Bible, please, over to 1 John chapter number 3 and the verse number 23. Look at the statement from the Word of God. Verse 23 of 1 John chapter 3, it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight, unsaved, God's will for you is this, God's commandment to your heart is this, that you repent. The Bible says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. God's will for your salvation is that you would believe in Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And to turn away from the voice of the Lord tonight is to go against the will of God, that will that calls you to repentance, that will that calls you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Something else we can say, to turn away from God's voice, it is but evidence that a person does not know the Lord as Savior. That was the case here with this man Pharaoh. You look at our text, look at what he says. Exodus chapter 5 and the verse number 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Notice the next statement. I know not the Lord. The fact that he turned away from the voice of God, it was a testimony that he knew not the Lord. Not only was it a testimony that he knew not the Lord, it was also a testimony that he did not believe God's word, that there was no faith in the word of God. Look at what he says about God's word in the chapter. Go down to verse number 9. Look at his statement regarding the word of God in the chapter. Verse 9 of Exodus chapter 5, he says, "Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein." And notice these words. This is what he thought of the word of God, that the message that God, that the servants of God had delivered them. He says, "Let them not regard vain words." As far as he was concerned, the word of the Lord was vain. It was empty. There was no faith in the word of God. There was no knowledge of God. He knew not the Lord. And the fact that he turned away from the voice of God was testament to this, that he did not know the Lord, that he had no faith or regard in the word of God itself. Dear friend, tonight in this gospel meeting, yes, you may be religious. You may be baptized. You may be catechized. You may go to church. You may say your prayers. You may read your Bible. You may be a good neighbor. You may work hard. You may help those who are in need in society around you. But friend, if you have never repented of your sin, have never trusted Christ as your Savior, then the reality is this: you still do not know the Lord. You see, the Bible speaks of those that are in God's family who know the Lord. And this is what it says: "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Those who know the Lord, those who are in the family of God, are those who have received Christ, who have embraced Christ by faith, and have heeded the message of the gospel as repentant sinners, and have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Again, Christ speaking to his heavenly Father in John 17, he says this: "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." There we have words from the very lips of Christ himself. And he says, for a person to know God, they must know Christ. He says, to know the Father is to know Christ. In other words, there is no getting to know God. There is no knowledge of God apart from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your own and personal Savior. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ's words to Thomas. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let me say this tonight, dear friend, at our meeting, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, if you are to know the Lord, then as a repentant sinner, you must come to Christ. Bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and your trust in him alone before salvation. Yes, we see the mercy that Pharaoh enjoyed, the folly that Pharaoh displayed. Notice one final thought tonight in connection with our text. Notice the ruin that Pharaoh incurred. You look again at what he says in our text. It says of Pharaoh that he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." You see, by not heeding the Lord's voice, there was tragic consequences for this man, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yes, he was the most powerful monarch perhaps in the world at that time. As it were, the whole power of his empire was at his fingertips. But there was tragic consequences, sad consequences for him, not heeding the voice of God, not heeding the call of God. Yes, there was the hardening of his heart against the Lord. Turn over there to Exodus chapter 7. And the verse number 3, look at what the Lord says about this man, Pharaoh. He says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." And you read here in these early chapters of Exodus how Pharaoh hardened his own heart against the Lord's voice, the Lord's message. And then it says this:
God hardened his heart. When God hardens a person's heart, that person's finished as far as God is concerned. And God hardened his heart. Friend, the Bible says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, if you turn away from the gospel that calls you to Christ for salvation, then that verse warns you that your heart will harden. It will become cold and indifferent to God, to the gospel, and to the things of God. You might say, well, how can this happen? Well, the Bible shows us that this has happened and does happen. You think of Cain. Way back at the beginning of time, Cain knew the gospel. He heard the gospel. God spoke to him on a number of occasions, but Cain, he refused. He refused the call of God. He refused to repent of his sin, to trust Christ as Savior. And the Bible says this about Cain of old, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Never again do we read of Cain ever having any concern about his soul and about his soul's salvation. Dear friend, the hymn writer says, O God, Spirit, me weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, the consequence for this man, Pharaoh, was to harden his heart. Friend, tonight be warned, lest your heart harden also if you turn away from the Lord and the gospel. Also, we can say further tonight that in turning away from God's voice, that Pharaoh, he brought hurt upon others and hurt upon himself. You'll see there from Exodus chapter 9 that he increased the workload of the Israelites and he hurt them more and more as a people. Verse 9 there of Exodus chapter number 5, this is Pharaoh's edict when he refuses the call of God. He says, let their more work be laid upon the men that they may labor therein. And he inflicted terrible affliction and servitude and bondage upon the children of Israel. He hurt the people of God. Not only did he hurt the Israel of God, but he caused great hurt to his own nation, to the nation of Egypt, and not only to his own nation, but to his own family and to his own loved ones. You see, his refusal to let Israel go had brought 10 plagues upon the country. And by these plagues, Egypt was destroyed. Even though it was the greatest nation on earth at that time, it was destroyed. And the final plague was the death of the firstborn in every Egyptian home, including the home and the family of Pharaoh. Turn your Bible over to Exodus chapter number 10. Look with me, please, there at verse number 7. Look at what it says. It says, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man, that is Moses, be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that is, let Israel go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Look at what they say to Pharaoh. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? The nation was destroyed because of the sin of Pharaoh. Turn over to chapter 12 and look there at verse 29 and verse 30. There you read of the final plague, the death of the firstborn, and it affected the very household of Pharaoh. It says in verse number 29, it says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Oh, what hurt Pharaoh inflicted upon his family and upon the nation because of his sin and refusing the voice of God. Friend, tonight in this gospel meeting, be under no illusion that sin brings trouble. Sin reaps trouble. It has been said that all misery calls sin its mother. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Lo, the devil may dress up sin and paint, as it were, a rosy picture.
The Bible says the way of the transgressor, the way of the sinner, it's a hard way, it's a difficult way. The Bible says he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. The Bible says tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. You look all around our world and our society and look at all the hurt, all the tears, all the heartbreak. There's one cause of it all. And that's that little word sin, S-I-N, sin in the heart of man. Oh, sin reaps awful havoc. Yes, sin and rejection of Christ as Savior, I tell you, friend, it pays to you the most awful of dividends. Sin does not bring joy. Any joy or pleasure from sin, it's very, very short-lived. It's but for a season. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Notice one final thing here, that in turning away from God's voice, you'll see that Pharaoh perished. He perished in his sin. He went to a lost sinner's hell. You turn over there to Exodus chapter number 14. And that chapter tells of Israel coming out of Egypt in a miraculous manner, going through the Red Sea. God made a pathway, a corridor for them through the Red Sea, and God miraculously went before them, made a way for them, bringing them up out of Egypt on their journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. But in the madness of his sin, we see how Pharaoh and his chariots make pursuit after Israel. But God in judgment, he brings the waters over Pharaoh and his army, and they perish in their sin and in a watery grave. Look at Exodus chapter 14 and the verse number 6. It speaks there of Pharaoh, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, took them in pursuit of Israel. Verse 8 says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Notice the mention of God hardening his heart. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. But down to verse number 27 of the chapter, it says, when Israel had went through the Red Sea and dry ground, and the Lord, he fought against Egypt, took the wheels of their chariots, and it says in verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And this was all linked to what Pharaoh said in our text. When he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord. What consequences he suffered and incurred. Friend, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Be sure of this, dear friend, there's a wrath to come. John the Baptist preached, flee from the wrath to come. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to flee from the wrath to come, from the judgment of God that will come upon you because of your sin. Because if you die in your sin, your soul will be lost in hell forevermore, in that place of eternal judgment, eternal night, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Look with me, please, at verse number 8 of that chapter. It says there, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You might say, well, there's things in that verse doesn't concern me, and that may be so, but look at how that verse begins. But the fearful, those who do not trust Christ because of the fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. It speaks also there of the unbelieving, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, those who say, I'll get to heaven my way or some other way or some other way of man's device or creed. Dear friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when you come to die, And you could die at any moment. None of us know the day nor the hour when we will breathe our last breath. Not one of us know. But if you die in your sin, your soul will be lost. Notice it there, in the lake of fire. Hell is real. You read the Gospels. Jesus Christ spoke more of hell. He warned more of hell than he ever spoke of heaven. The wrath to come, he spoke of, to warn you and I to be saved and to be right with God. Friend, you die in your sin without Christ to save, your soul will be lost, irretrievably lost. Lost in hell forevermore. Your body, yes, will be led to rest in the grave. But when Christ returns, your body will rise. And the Bible says that you'll be resurrected unto the resurrection of damnation. If you're not saved. In other words, your body will be raised and will be cast into hell on the day of God's great white throne judgment. Oh, friend, tonight I say to you, take heed. Learn tonight. Learn from the example of this man, Pharaoh. God has written about Pharaoh in his word for an example to us. Oh, don't follow that example. There's a warning there for us. Friend, repent of your sin before it is too late. Confess your sins to Christ. Trust Christ as Savior. And I tell you this upon the authority of God's precious word, that he will save you. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of salvation. He will pardon your sins. He will bring you into his family and fold. He will bring you one day into God's heaven. You see, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whoever you are in the meeting tonight, you can put your name under that word, whosoever. If you call upon the Lord Jesus, confess your sins to him, trust in his atoning blood that he shed upon the cross to wash away your sins, praise God, he will save you, bring you to his family. He'll take you one day to be with himself in heaven forevermore. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 234. 234. One there is who loves thee, waiting still for thee. Canst thou yet reject him? None so kind as he. Do not grieve him longer. Come and trust him now. He has waited all thy days. Why waitest thou? 234, we'll stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. Close our meeting with a word of prayer. But if there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart, but your need of salvation, I urge you this night to come to the Lord. If I can be of any help to you, I'd be in no hurry away. Be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who can save you, who can take you one day to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for help given in the ministry of thy word. Write thy word, that which has been of thee tonight, write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And Lord, for any tonight in this gathering not saved, any listening in online not saved, oh, that tonight they wouldn't refuse the voice of God and the gospel. But oh Lord, we pray that they'll turn. Give them grace to turn. Give them grace, O God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to embrace him and to trust him as their own and personal Savior. Bless thy word to this end. Speak on, we beseech of thee, while the voice of man is silent. Take us to our homes in safety. Travel with us, we pray, in our homeward journey. Return us again in thy will, even throughout the week, in the various meetings, we pray, and pour out thy Spirit upon us in these days, and save many precious souls, we ask, in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.